Hi guys.
Hello,
Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello to new listeners. What's poppin'? What's up?
What you doing?
What you have for dinner? It's technically night for us here, so dinner.
Yeah, it's dinner time.
What do you have for dinner?
You know what I have for dinner? What you mean, oh no? Carla said,
your signal is kind of being funky now.
All right, so I had a little bit of arroz amarillo with some pollo and a little side of maduros.
So forgot what he had.
Bro, I had some maduros, some chicken with peppers and onions, and then I had that good yellow.
No, you didn't. Had
plantains. Who's a hater, bro? I had the sweet plantains rocking, heavy, fire. I had the good chicken breast to be exact with the onions.
I love how you say you have the good chicken, like there is a bad chicken. Well, I don't know if there is a bad chicken, chicken
with all the probiotics and all the extra hormones in there. You feel me? I had the good free range chicken. You feel me? I had that. Carla, we had the good chicken out here, girl. You know what time it is.
I am fan of food myself. Yes. I don't know what time it is, actually. Is it 8 or 9? It's actually 9.
No, Carla.
We're doing this episode a little more late.
Time for what the fuck?
What are you screaming? Latin X.
Yes, sir. With your boy, Joshua.
And that's your girl, Carla.
And y'all already know the vibes, man.
I feel like Joshua has too much energy for me today. So I did kind of want to apologize because this episode's a little coming time or something like that. But we're doing something. I feel like I say this on every episode, but we're doing something a little different today. So with the current events, Joshua and I have actually pre-recorded. We try to be like ahead of time. To celebrate Pride Month, and to talk about those kind of topics. So we recorded it, and it's in the editing process, and we've been seeing and we've been hearing everything that's been happening this week with the protest and the victims of the hashtag Black Lives Matter. And so I literally called up Joshua and I was like, you know what? Let's just like drop everything we're doing and talk about this because it's hot. It's important. I know it's like near and dear to your heart because of your experiences as a man of color, and me as an ally and as someone who's just like enraged by the fucking negative behavior that we see. I don't even know where I'm going with this. Everything's just fucked up. Right? I'm like, fuck whitewashed and bougie. And I'm like, you know, like times are hard. And I'm like, no. Like, fucked up. I'm going to do something about it. I want to talk about it. I'm giving Josh the limelight this week because I talked a lot in the next episode.
Carla talks way too much. I can't get
Carla. I know. I got really inspired with Pride Month.
Once Carla starts talking, she does not stop talking. Carla is like,
I know. I knew a lot of just random information.
Like Carla was saying, this is a topic that I feel like it probably affects me a lot more than it affects Carla. Just because Carla is like what most of us would call white passing. Like if you see Carla, like you might pick up on the Latina vibes, but she's definitely real light skin. She got the Casper skin going. She can blend. You know, her ghost vibe. Now when you look at me, I'm like 5'11", big.
You're a chocolate boy.
285-pound big chocolate.
You're a big boy.
With the beard, the afro, and then the meme mug.
Yeah, you always mad for some reason. No, you ain't. You a sweetheart. You just look intimidating.
I have this air, like, I have broad shoulders. I look and walk aggressively even when I'm not being aggressive. And even when I'm like on some
nice. It's a defense mechanism, yeah.
It's definitely
well, you're already expecting people to fuck with you, so you just.
Well, it's because just growing up where I grew up. Growing up where I grew up is like you have to develop that defense mechanism because it's like you have your own people attacking you and then you also have the police against you.
Yeah, you do.
And it's interesting. Like we're living in times where there's a lot of people that have really digested like the channel version of Black history. And not even history, but history in general, and the history and the foundation of this country, and what this shit's been built upon. And it's funny when you have people that are more angry about rioting than the
injustice. About Target doesn't even give a fuck.
Target is a Fortune 500 company. Target has what many businesses do. They have insurance. Target will get their
money back. Target is fine.
Target will get
them. And if you go on their Facebook, there have been comments of like, what was her name? Lucinda or some shit?
No.
You got customers complaining about how their managers aren't like answering the phone. And Target literally responded, "Hi, Linda. We're sorry about that. But if you watch the news, our store is on fire."
Yo, but that just, it shows you, right? That lady is one of those people that
should Well, and then I think they responded something in the lines of, oh, no, again.
What did she say?
They responded in the lines of, well, Linda, you should be grateful that people aren't killing you by the color of your skin. And she was like, what kind of response is that? And Target responded the appropriate kind. And yep. Ever since I saw that, it's been stuck in my head because I studied marketing. And it's like, honestly, that's how you do it, Target. You need to, I stand Target anymore. They don't give a fuck about their stores. They're standing with Black Lives Matter, which is kind of crazy.
Now, but one of my issues with all these companies is that at some point, I started to notice that a lot of these companies were letting out statements that felt very generic.
Fake.
They felt fake. Yeah. They felt like PR stunts. They felt like we're releasing a statement because it's quote unquote the right thing to do. And that kind of irked me a little bit because I'm like, I can tell that this shit's fake. Like, don't fake it. If you don't really stand with the cause, why even let out a statement?
Because people are lighting up their buildings on fire. What do you think they give a fuck? They don't give a fuck about people.
Yeah,
they're trying to save their asses.
We're not stupid. Like, we can tell. Like, don't let out a fake statement, my nigga. We still gonna burn your shit.
Yeah.
I condone all that shit, but I understand where that hatred and where that anger comes from.
I was going to say, guys, go and like on our WTF Latinx for Blackout Tuesday. We posted some images about the lives that have been lost. I think something that's really important and it's getting lost in the mud of like the protests and the rage is that this is bigger than George Floyd, right? This isn't just one life. And like there's a post that Josh created specifically with some, because there's more names, but some of the names of like Black victims throughout this year
throughout I think the last decade. Mm-hmm. You know, those are all names of people that have been, you know, traumatized and terrorized by police brutality, and all those people on that list are no longer with us because
victimized.
Of like,
negligence. So we created that in critical person who's like, I saw a TikTok. I have a lot of TikTok examples because I've been following everything through TikTok now. The return of Anonymous, the witches protesting, every 5 minutes, someone else will pop up. It's like, the witches are with us. The Amish are with us. Anonymous is with us, and like the Karens are with us.
The Karens.
The U Plus Karens community with is with us. Mm-hmm. So why aren't you?
It's just
why, like, are you fighting this? This is the right side.
You have to remember, though, that there's still a lot of, like, there's still a whole generation that was raised up in that era where it was okay to, like, you know, to beat on Black people, to yell at Black people. And those people
are
still around, and they want their voices to be heard. And their voices have been heard. Like, you can see it. It's a reflection of who's in the office right now.
It's hard for me because it's like, yeah, they want their voices heard, but they've always been heard.
And that's where privilege comes in. That's where you have all lives matter. It's like no one ever said that all lives didn't matter. We just want people to understand that, you know, Black lives
matter. Lives are just being targeted and yours ain't, bitch.
Exactly. And it's like, yo.
Oh, we're having technical difficulties today.
How do you protest my protest with other
protests? Oh, so I apologize.
Can you kind of broke up there. Can you hear that? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I was saying we're having technical difficulties today, which, like, goes with the whole 2020 year.
Nah, the Wi-Fi is a bit of trash. But all I was saying is, like, how do you protest a protest with another protest and then minimize the voices of these people that feel like they're unheard?
That's how I feel about all of this. I'm just, like, tired of everyone's bullshit. You know what's right. You know what's wrong in your heart, in your brain, in your values, in your strength. You know that people don't deserve to die because of the skin or the color. But this is the part that's frustrating for me, is I feel like we're having a battle between, not between life and death, because we are, but the generation that you're talking about that is used to having things a certain way and don't want, are coming up with this all life matters and like blue lives matter to like protest a protest.
You know what I've realized?
It's... Wait, I'm not done. And I'm going to forget. This generation is putting their comfort over another human life. And that's the part that is killing me, that, like, oh, I don't feel safe because there's a Black person walking down my like, where I live. Well, bitch, they don't feel safe because they're gonna die. So I don't care that you don't feel safe because they're worse. And that's the part that's, like, breaking my brain. It's, yeah, you're scared because, like, there's a person of color walking down the street. They're scared that they're gonna die. And you're putting your own selfish, like, interest above another human life. So that's the part that fucks me up. But you were saying?
No, damn, I completely agree with you. There's, like, there's a lot of selfishness. I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just hard to explain. It's, I can't believe that people really, like, still feel like that in 2020. And it sucks that something as simple as a call to the police can, like, low-key end somebody's life over something as simple as, like, I don't know, like, this miscommunication.
Yeah. But I'm like, yes, but also, like, I know we had a protest here in Massachusetts in Boston yesterday. It was kind of late, so it was like after 6, people were walking down Boston protesting, which was really cool. But shout out to literally every state, every country that is joining this movement, from London to Germany to Japan. It blows my mind, and I think it's really beautiful that through the internet, like, this isn't, this, yes, we're joining because this is happening here and because George Floyd's life was lost, but this isn't a problem that's just an American problem, which sometimes I forget. I was looking at a couple of tweets where people were talking about, you know, like here in France, they're also very racist and we're protesting with you, US, but also because our lives here in France are in danger, and Spain and Japan, they never really stopped protesting in Japan. So it's just like, it's here, it always gets to the extremes, but racism doesn't really give a fuck where you're born, what your religion is. Like, it's everywhere. That's why we have to band together to end it.
It's sad because it's one of those things where it's like, it's really going to take a revolution to end it.
I think Target's already burning. The revolution is here, whether you like it or not. You're just choosing between the winning team or the losing team.
It is here, but I feel like one of my issues with it is that our revolution really lacks... I feel like it lacks sophisticated planning. It's very raw. There's a lot of raw emotion. And I feel like in order to really put the change, you have to hurt people where it's really gonna hurt them. That's in their pockets.
Make their pockets hurt.
And then we as a people, we have to infiltrate the government on all sectors. It isn't just like the police that's corrupt. It's the whole entire system that's corrupt. From bottom, and the foundation that the system is built upon, the foundation is rotten. It's a foundation that's gonna crumble, and it's only a matter of time before it crumbles. And what we have to do is really get organized, get as organized as they are, and really just fucking shut shit down on a sophisticated level.
Yeah,
that's what I feel.
I'm with you, but. I'm not with you. I see where you're coming from. I'm with the protesters in this one where I've been seeing a lot of videos where people are like, this is not the right way to protest. Like, they should be doing silent protest. They should be doing more, like, policy and blah.
You know what? I feel like it's a mixture of everything.
That, for me, is... That's already been done. And I feel like that didn't work.
No, it's never worked. Like, even when Martin Luther King was preaching, like, peaceful protest, it's like none of those protests ever ended peacefully. They all ended in riots. They had
those
men and women.
It never works. People try to be peaceful, and then they poke the bear, and then the bear comes biting back. Oh, ho, ho.
You know what's funny? It's like I go back to the foundation. It's like. It's like, did America ever peacefully protest against the British to become a free country?
No. They spilled thousands of dollars in tea into the Boston whatever. For taxes, not even life. That's kind of funny, actually.
Exactly. So it's like...
Well, I feel like that tells you a lot about what the kind of country we are. We give a fuck more about money and taxes than we do about people's lives.
Nah, capitalism has us fucked up. That's a fact.
Yeah, it does. That's why
I say we have to hurt them where it really hurts, like in their pockets, because that's what's gonna make this shit like. That's what's gonna amplify the fucking message, bro.
Honestly, and actually coming onto that with my business background, I can be like, put the little business hat on, a blazer or a suit. Companies will forever do what works for them until it no longer works for them, right?
Of course.
So I'm not gonna stop the system that's like functioning. So like if I'm the oil company or like I don't know, fucking iPhone company, whatever it is.
But he said the oil.
Yeah. Company. So like if I've been doing this for hundreds, and I've been paying off people for like 50 years and it's been working for me and I can do whatever the fuck I want, why am I gonna stop if like I'm doing the whatever the fuck I want? That's why protesting is so important, because once we stop purchasing from these companies and demanding more, if we don't demand more as a consumer, they will not change. Actually, speaking of that, are you gonna talk about the financial protest?
You know what? I feel like at this point, you know more about the financial protest than I do.
So I did see on TikTok that.
Because Carla's been mentioning this financial protest on the 4th, I believe it's the 4th of July to the 7th of July.
Yeah, the 7th, I believe. So from the 4th to the 7th of July, we're trying to financially protest if you're trying to do something actively to kind of...
hurt their pockets.
How do I say apoyar?
To apoyar,
to support.
To support. Thank
you. To support the Black Lives Matter movement, make no purchases from July 4th to July 7th, which would be like millions, thousands of millions of dollars.
Yo, it'd be a ridiculous amount of money.
For companies to meet and support us, whether they like it or not. So I did see that was kind of going around, and I believe June 19th is the national,
Juneteenth, baby.
Slavery,
I think it's the official
slavery abolishment celebration. Yeah. So during that day, we're asking people to please make purchases to your local, Black community businesses, Black owned businesses. Mm-hmm. Just to make a statement and help those that really need it during this time, especially with coronavirus, I think it's like fucking hard. But yeah, I'm the type of person that I don't really have much to donate. If you guys think we make money out of this podcast, we do not. We have made exactly 25 cents for as long as we've had this podcast.
Shout out to y'all though, all our listeners from all over the world, from Swedish. From Switzerland, that's already the same place. Switzerland, Sweden.
I know.
I think we have listeners from Ireland, people from Mexico, California,
yeah.
The beautiful people in Lawrence.
Yeah, we appreciate you. We don't really make any money out of this podcast, but we're here to talk about the things that people don't talk about. That's what I got, Joshua. You may continue.
It's crazy to me because it's like, I feel like most Latinos, or not even most Latinos, because most Dominicans won't even stand with African Americans because them themselves deny like they're not African American roots.
Yeah, so let me clarify something. So just so you guys know, this is probably going to be a random rant episode where we're just ranting about the things that we're seeing in the news. And speaking of Latin racism, I could do a whole official podcast, like research podcast about we have is also structured in a system, in the system of our culture. When our Native Americans were enslaved, they were forced to work. And then they were offered for food and shelter, they would have to pay more than they were making. Therefore, they were economically enslaved for the same master trying to pay them back what they're behind on. And it's really interesting because I don't think that's something that we're taught here in the U.S. Education system. I think I literally learned that when I was in freshman year in high school or something like that. Where they were like, yeah, they would be economically, not only physically enslaved, but economically, like, they had nowhere to go. They had no houses, so you ask your owner for a house. Your owner's like, yeah, sure, but you're going to have to pay me for it. So then they pay them with the money that they make from the work and the grounds with agriculture and stuff like that. But the money that they make from those grounds are never going to be enough. So there's always going to be that cycle of, I owe them and I don't make enough to pay for them. So my next paycheck and as the debt increases and they are forever holding by their masters financially. The cycle of poverty. Yeah. So when it comes to Latin culture, I know that I learned that very young that like that's why you don't see as many like rich Latinos. And it's like, no, because we were told to just work for what we have, but whatever we would work was never enough.
Wait, hold on. You kind of broke up there. Yo, these technical difficulties, my people. What were you going to say about Univision?
Telemundo Univision, I guess, like, they admitted or they confessed or something like that. Please do your Googles, B. Not you, but, like, our listeners. Do your Googles.
For the ASAP.
There's more information randomly on TikTok, too. I was reading an article about it. So they admitted that they basically fluffed up their news and their, like, spread fake news. Not literally fake news, but
I feel like they're giving one perspective.
They make their news, they make their news more dramatic than they actually are. So like so I guess they're basically not completely true. And we know how our Latino parents tend to like completely trust these news because they're in Spanish. But Telemundo and Univision are.
I'm sorry. I had technical difficulties on my side. So, I don't...
Okay, we're going to take...
It's weird.
We're going to take a commercial break.
And we are live. Bow.
But, yeah.
Carla.
Yeah, I'm here. So we're back and we have better audio. I don't know what was happening before, but we good. We Gucci now.
Yo, this, I forget where I left off, man, but yo, honestly.
We were talking about like Latino racism and stuff.
Nah, yeah, but like, honestly, this has been like one of like, all these current chain of events with, between George Floyd getting murdered and all these videos that have started to resurface of just like police brutality against the black community, but it's starting to give me PTSD. I'm starting to remember every single negative interaction that I've ever had with a police officer. Every single time I had a gun pointed at my fucking head, every single time I had a gun pointed at my face. Bro, I remember this one time I was driving back from my finals, right? At NECO. Mm-hmm. And I'm already
I'm
already having like a trash day, whatever, boom. And me and my mom are driving back and we're talking about life, whatever. We're having a cool convo. Bro, and out of nowhere, like on some movie.
Wait. You lost me at, you were at NECO.
I lost you, we were at NECO. So I said, I was at NECO.
Mm-hmm.
Finals.
You were having a shitty ass day and you were like,
having a shitty ass day. It was finals, whatever. Me and my mom are driving back home, and out of nowhere, we get swarmed by, like, 10, 15 police officers. Boom. Cop comes, blocks them on the front. Boom. Two more cars, one on the left, one on the right. Boom. And then I can see a sea of just blue and fucking red lights as far as you can go. Boom. And then I start looking back into the mirror. I see all these red laser beams. Boom, 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 waving into the car. Bro. Within like 15 seconds, I had about 3 guns pointed at my head. There was one pointed at my mother's face.
Joshua, what the fuck?
Yo. Once again, bro, this is like, I just fit the description, apparently.
What year was this?
This was 2017. I can't remember. Maybe 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most scariest.
Like, but that this wasn't more than 4-5 years ago. This was like so recent. That is so. You see, I've never had a direct bad like correlation. Like I've never been stopped and all that kind of stuff. But it's also like I look white, so they ain't gonna stop me, and I'm aware of that. And like. It's kind of fucked up because I've always, like, had friends of color and, like, friends of, like, all types of people. Like, I don't really give a fuck who you are as long as you're, like, a decent human being.
No, of course.
But you notice these things. And so,
like
you notice how if I go with CVS, even with you, if you're standing in an aisle, the security guard will start approaching. And then the moment I stand next to you, they go away because you were a white girl.
It's so
funny. And that just blows my mind.
It is so funny. It's like
they will look at you bad, and then I'll look back at them straight in the eye, and they'll walk away. I have no power. Like, I didn't grow up feeling that comfortable with cops. Like, I don't feel comfortable with cops in general. Like, I know what they're capable of, but I still see the difference.
Oh, no, you see immediately, you can see how different you're treated, how different I'm treated by myself as opposed to, like, when I'm with you.
Yeah.
And as soon as they notice that I'm with you, it's, like, a whole different, like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're one of the good ones.
It's like, oh, you have your get-out-of-jail-free card right next to you.
Literally. That is exactly how they treat you.
And it's like, yo, that shit is fucked, bro. And mind you, that's just one incident. Like, I've had incidents where I'm sitting outside of, like, let's say my aunt's house. Mm-hmm. Not even, let's say, my aunt's house. So I was sitting outside of my aunt's house one day, and mm-hmm. I'm there cooling, whatever. It's South Lawrence. It's, like, near Mount Vernon, so it's, like, a nice neighborhood. And I see a undercover car drive by, right? And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I got a bad vibe immediately. I tell myself, I'm like, yo, get the fuck inside, man. Go inside. Fucking go chill with Cuzzo. Go play PlayStation. Yo, not even 3 minutes after I go inside, bro, there's like two cop cars outside. There's a cop fucking patrolling my aunt's house, gun in hand, walking around, looking for me. And then out of nowhere, they start banging on the door. And they ask my little cousin, yo, big black guy. He was sitting on the stoops. Blah, 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 blah. We're looking for him. We're just trying to ask him a couple questions real quick. My little cousin's a G. My little cousin's like, nah, I don't know who you're talking about. There's nobody that fits that description around here. Da, 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 da. Like, and then after that, 2 minutes later, right after we close the door, my other cousin, the super snitch, comes. He's like, oh, y'all talking about Joshua. Yeah, Joshua's inside. Hold up. Do, do, do. Boom.
No.
As I'm coming outside, I see G.I. Joe with the gun in hand, still just aggressive, just looking, just like, hmm. And then immediately after.
This is like a movie to me. This is crazy. I've always just kind of like ran under the radar, but like purposefully. Like, you know how there's people who like, I try to be as invisible as I can just because I don't want them to fuck with me. Mm-hmm. And that's just like how scared I am of them.
That moment wasn't as bad as the first one because immediately.
What did they ask you?
They're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. We were looking for a suspect that robbed the bank, this and that. Once again, my nigga, I just kind of happened to, quote unquote, fit the description. And then I had to explain to the police officer. I'm like, yo, bro, my mother literally just dropped me off like 10 minutes ago. I sat down and then I went inside to my cousin's crib because I was waiting for him to text me, blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, are you sure? This and that. I'm like, bro, my mother can come back if you need her to. She's probably like 2 minutes down the street, bro.
Wow.
And then he quickly realized that they had the wrong person because just my demeanor, I'm just like, bro, you bugging. But that was another.
But if you would have panicked out of fear, then you're not just a suspect, you're guilty whether they have evidence or not. And that's the thing that's like, they aren't trained to not act out of fear. And that's just like a system issue in general. Like,
bro,
I can't even put that one on them. They're like trained to be like, you're scared, you shoot. That's your life over theirs.
Yeah, like that's why he was running around the house with the gun in hand.
Yeah.
Hold up, yo. Let me give you another one because that's just like one of I have too many of these random ass moments.
This is not how I thought this episode was gonna go, but story time with Joshua # Black Lives Matters.
My favorite one has to be the one where my best friend, right? So one of my best friends is like the
white. What do you mean? I'm not your best friend.
Now, you my best friend, but this is, like, my male best friend. He, like, my homeboy.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. My God, it's my God, whatever. So my man, for the purposes of this story, we just gonna call him G. So, okay. G is, like, the whitest white dude you'll ever meet. This man drives a fucking, he likes to drive Pontiacs and Buicks, white boy, super short, smokes cigarettes, et cetera, et cetera. So, whatever. So unbeknownst to me, apparently I live in a high drug activity zone.
Okay. And
the police were conducting an investigation on my street.
Okay.
So they see a large black man stepping into a car with New Hampshire plates.
Okay.
Bro, we don't even make it maybe 5 minutes down the street, right? We're about to hop on the highway. And I look into the rear view and I'm like, yo, bro, what's up with that car back there? Yo, that shit look like some undercovers. He's like, yeah, that's definitely some undercovers. We see the lights, boom. First car comes in front, blocks us, boom. Second car blocks in through the back, boom. Third car makes sure he kind of hops onto this on the corner and he just gets in front of us. So it's like a whole little triangle. They're boxing us in. It's two cars in the front, car in the back. Boom. Mm-hmm. Come out, guns drawn, blazing. Da, 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 da.
Oh, but so, notice how guns drawn without even knowing if you're the right guy. Like,
bro, it should have me fucked up this time. Because the most beautiful part about this is I know one of the cops. Immediately, I noticed one of the police officers. He's not a regular police officer. He's a racist narcotics agent, right? So I was in court one day. And I just so happened to listen to this man giving like a testimony, right? He's talking against against some dude that got caught selling drugs. His exact words are like, "Yeah, everybody that lives and inhabits this street here in Lawrence, they're all drug dealers. Everybody on that block sells drugs." And I'm there listening, and I'm like, "Yo, how are you generalizing this whole entire community just because they just so happen to live in a section where, yeah, maybe there's a couple drug dealers, but that's not to say that everybody there is a drug dealer."
Yeah, like some people just have to live there because it's cheap.
It is what it is.
Listen, bro. I lived in Lawrence and like I lived in like half Mahomeno Street and
Carla lived, it was like kind of.
I lived in Lawrence for fucking 5 years and being honest, like I fucking never saw anything suspicious. I used to walk at 10 p.m. at night the streets from my school back to my house. It was a half an hour walk. Fucking nothing ever happened to me, and I never saw anything.
That's crazy. Carla, lucky as hell.
Yeah, I'm literally, like, I used to walk, like, creepy ass. Like, I was just scared that I was going to see a crackhead or something. Like, someone going to kidnap me. Like, this is
I'm the not end. Gonna lie. The street that you used to live on is definitely, like, it gives off crackhead vibes.
Yeah, I did. Like, yeah, I guess it's Essex is technically kind of like downtown. But yeah, like, and like nothing bad ever happened to me. And like, I never saw any criminal behavior. Like, I just minded my business.
Nah, you kind of just did your thing. I feel you.
Yeah, like
It's crazy to see that like there's certain police officers and agents that are like, you know, they have this, there's like this racist undertone and you can hear it when they speak and you can see it how they conduct their.
But that's where the issue lies, that's the kind of people that you have in this low income areas with people who have no way out. And then you put this person in power with a fucking gun that's going to kill anyone.
It's crazy though. It's crazy because that was the worst experience of my life. Like, yo, me and my friend really got like racially profiled because I'm a black man and he's a white dude and he's from New Hampshire. And anybody that's from New Hampshire that comes to Lawrence is buying fucking heroin, meth, buying pills, whatever it is. Yo, needless to say, right? So that day, I just so happened to have a headache and I had fucking Tylenols, right? I had the extra strength Tylenols, and these shits look like Perc 30s. They're big ass fucking tablets. They're like prescribed by doctors. So
immediately,
whatever, dude's patting me down. He's patting my boys down. He's like, yo, boom, we found the pills. He's like, oh, jackpot. See, I told you, blah, blah, blah. Yo, I look at him. I start laughing. I'm like, oh, nah, you're stupid. Look at him. Look at the number on him. That's a Tylenol tab. He's like, oh, nah, these look like Percocets, huh? These don't. And then mind you, I didn't have like the prescription label on them because it had been in my pocket for so long because I was using the same pill bottle for years. Mm-hmm. So off rip, it already looks sketchy. I have little small like high blood pressure pills in there too. Mm-hmm. So whatever, the dude takes them, and he's like running a search. He's like, oh well, we're gonna go see now. We're gonna run a test on these. We're gonna see if they're really like what you say they are. Whatever. He goes, he runs them, and he feels stupid as shit because he's like, oh shit, wait, these are really Tylenols, and there's really high blood pressure pills in here. And then me and my boy just look at him like, yo, can I just stop playing this fucking game? Like, we're not selling drugs. We're not doing drugs. This is my best friend. Like, this dude's dating my sister. Like, that's how I know him. He just so happens to live in New Hampshire. I just so happen to live in Mass. This is not what you think it is. He's like, yo, the racist cop keeps trying to push the issue, bro. He's like, no, we got to run a full search, though, because we already found pills on him. So we got to run a search on the whole entire car. Blah, blah, blah. And, yo, it starts to rain, bro. And we're just like, yo, cut the bullshit, bro. We're not doing what you think we're doing. Just let it be. And needless to say, it ended off with this dude kind of just dropping it after a while because it started to rain. And we're just looking at him like, you look stupid right now. You look goofy. Like, we're not doing what you think you're doing. And that's how
I'm right now, like, I have my mouth open. Like, I don't even know how, like.
Bro, nah, that's just one. That's one situation. That's just like, yo. And then I have another one. Me and my boy are fucking. What were we doing, yo? We were walking. We had walked from like south to north, whatever. We had spent the night just kind of like. Spent the night kind of clowning and shit. Went to our boy's house, whatever. As we're walking by the police station, out of nowhere, right? I look to the left and I'm like, yo, you see this fucking cruiser just in the cut? Whatever. I look at the car, I'm like, ah, whatever. Fucking, it's the police doing the police. They just hiding, whatever. Yo, 2 seconds later, dude swoops out. Boom. I guess he had called for backup because as soon as he swoops out, there's another cop car that swoops out. Boom. They're like, yo, freeze. Yo, I keep walking. I'm like, oh, this can't be for us, bro. This can't be for us. He was like, yo, freeze. Boom. Same shit, bro. Guns drawn. Yeah. One of the police officers, big, like, husky football player dude, he's like, oh, fat boy, don't try to run from me. I'm like, yo. I'm like, hold on, what are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about?
Like, I don't mean to laugh, but I'm just like,
nah, it's, really? It's funny as shit to me, right? So he's like, yo, fat boy, don't try to run. I look at him, like, who the fuck you calling fat, first of all? Second of all, what are you trying to stop us for? He's like, oh, well, we just got a call saying that two males stole a car and were on a joyride and had crashed the car, and you guys are coming in the direction of the scene.
What the fuck?
Yo, me and my boy, mind you, me and my boy had walked that whole area. We didn't hear a car crash. We didn't see anybody. And the street that we were walking down was a one-way street. Mind you, we had only seen maybe like two or three cars that night, and they were all police cars. So whatever, right? So whatever. They pat us down, boom, boom, boom. And they had found like a spray can on my friend.
Yeah.
So as soon as they find the spray can, they start calling in different cruisers. They're like, oh, yo, I want you to start looking and searching the area for graffiti. In my head, I'm like, wait, didn't you initially stop me and my friend because we had stolen a car and we apparently look like the two people that stole the car? But now you find a spray can on him and now you want to start calling in different cruisers to search the city for graffiti? So
those motherfuckers. This
isn't even half of it though, right? So after we get patted down, whatever, it's just like it's cold as shit out. It's windy, so I have my hoodie on, and I just my hands are getting cold. Whatever, I'm a fat boy. I have poor circulation in my hands, so I try to put my hands inside of my hoodie like a normal person would, right?
Yeah, especially like knowing like where we live, we have literally winter for like 10 months a year. So it's always freaking cold.
Yo, the minute I put my hands in my pocket, the big football player looking ass dude, right? He's like, oh, take your hands out of your pocket. And I look at him, and I look at his sergeant, and I'm like, yo, Sarge, did you not just pat me down?
right? Have you deemed me not, I'm not a threat to you, right? He's like, nah, but you know, just, you know, we just do it for safety. I'm like, but did you not just pat me down? Do you not pat people down to make sure that they don't have weapons? He's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then the other dude chimes in again, nah, but just don't put your hands in your hoodie. I'm like, bro, I'm cold. I'm gonna put my hands in my hoodie. He's like, oh, if you put your hands in your hoodie again, we're gonna have an issue. So I look at him, I'm like, bet. I take off my hoodie. I put my hoodie down. And I had a whole little protest with the police officer. His sergeant starts to kind of feel bad. He's like, nah, yo, it's cold out, man. You can put on your hoodie. I look at him. I look at the big dude. I'm like, no, sir. Your partner feels so uncomfortable that even after you've already searched me, he still feels a need to have this aggression towards me for no reason. And then the dude starts to get mad. He's like, oh, what are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nah, I'm going to take my hoodie off so I don't end up dead on these streets because you're too scared. You're too scared to watch me put my hands in my pockets because I'm cold. And I started, like, I was low-key a dickhead. I started egging him on. I'm like, look at you. You're mad for no reason. You stopped me for no reason. You guys are lying about the situation. You guys are just looking to just target people for no reason. And now you're mad that I put my hands in my hoodie after your sergeant had already, like patted me down. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, you can stop being a pussy. And I'm going to just stand here with no hoodie on because you're scared and you have fear in your heart. Yo, this nigga starts getting hot. He's like, oh, if I really wanted to do something to you, I would have already kicked you in the head. And then I look at the sergeant. I'm like, you see, this is the type of people that you have on your force. The minute you like, you call them on their bullshit, they get mad, they get sensitive. And then the sergeant starts to kind of like, he's trying to defuse the situation. He's like, nah, say, like, listen, you know, it's really difficult for us out here. He starts to play the sympathy card. Like, yo, you know, it's not cool to be a police officer, but it's cool to be a firefighter. You know, we have a really hard job, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And in my head, I'm like, but that's no excuse for him to act like a dickhead.
Like, that's not an excuse for him to threaten your fucking life.
And it's like the minute I called him out on his bullshit and told him, like, yo, you're just scared. You're doing a job that you're too scared to do. It's like, if you're here to protect and serve. Me and my boy aren't a threat, and you guys are obviously calling bullshit. And then after that whole situation, I think I looked up the police log for that week or for that night. There was never a report of a stolen car. So, like that whole situation, the whole situation was BS. They just stopped me and my boy just because it was late at night, and they were just fishing for bullshit. They were just trying to see if they could catch two minorities just slipping.
I feel like crying right now. Because I'm enraged for you. Like, I genuinely feel like crying at the fact that this person grows up in this privileged perspective where I'm right and you're wrong, and because you're wrong, I'm going to kill you. Or if I wanted to, I could kick your head. Like,
if I really wanted to.
That's not normal. It's not normal to want to hurt other people.
Well, was it
no normal? Matter where you come from, I don't care if you're fucking like whatever his relation. If he wasn't white and he was like whatever race, I don't give a fuck at the fact that he's right. I give a fuck at the fact that he thinks that's okay, and that there's so many people that think it's okay to hurt other people out of fear.
And I don't know, that situation was weird because.
But like, it's not weird.
It was weird.
You just told me 3+ stories about the same thing happening over and over again. I'm scared of you. I think you're black, therefore you're a criminal, you're bad, or blah, blah, blah. I'm going to hurt you some way, somehow.
You're black, you have an afro, and you fit the description. So that's it. You fit the description. And that's always been enough.
And I think, like, this is harder for me to listen to because I've never experienced that. I've also been super overly protective, so there's no fucking way in my life my mother would ever let me, like, walk the streets, like, walk certain streets at night. Like, unless I was, like, coming back from school, I wasn't really allowed to, like, go out that much like that. But still, even the times that I did, I never feared for my life. I feared for my life because I'm a woman, because I feared if I walk alone at night, I fear to be raped, but I don't fear to be killed. And that's a whole nother problem, on itself.
You got me thinking about another situation where...
I feel like this episode is really intense. The last three episodes have been a little bit intense.
Nothing.
But this is like our world, and like 2020 in general is literally on fire. Everything's just exploding on everyone's faces. It's the revolution we needed, but I don't think we were ready for it.
Nah, definitely. And it's crazy, bro, because not all them cops are bad. Because I have one situation where I had the good cops and the bad cops. Or they were playing their little good cop bad cop scenario, where I was walking with my friends, and one of my friends had he had spray painted like on like a box or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he sees a police officer, and he immediately thinks that the police officer like saw him doing the graffiti. Mm-hmm. So whatever, the police officer sees him and sees my other boy, and he had never seen him do the little graffiti tag on the box, whatever. Mm-hmm. The police officer thought that my friend was he saw him with a hoodie, black man with a hoodie, whatever. He thought that my friend was scoping out a house to rob it. So when we see the police officer. What? When we see the police officer, I go and I dip into this little alleyway.
Like how cops just think that people do this in the daylight. Like, oh, you see that 16-year-old? Yeah, let's arrest him because he's going to fucking rob a whole family house.
Bro, listen. This story got fucking weird out of nowhere. So I run into this little alley and my other boy runs into the alley with me.
Wait. Can I pause you and be like, you know what's also fucks with me is that news outlets are always ready to talk about the bad things that happen, especially like Lawrence is a city that has a lot of bad reputation because it's a low-income area. That's where the criminals live. That's where like drugs are, blah, 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 blah. So news outlets are easily like able to talk about the bad news, but where are these news? Why don't we hear about these stories on the news? Why don't we hear about the times that the police fucked over and over and over again? This is why Black Lives Matter. This is why this protest and like this revolution and situation is happening, because people don't want to accept it and want to acknowledge that it's happening. And just because you pretend that it's not happening and it's not on the news doesn't mean it's not there, and doesn't mean that people's lives like are being exploited. Sorry, I got like really passionate about the fact that I remember a few years ago, there was like some news coming out from Lawrence about like a decapitated body that was found.
Ooh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And like, I remember that Lawrence, like, even though like it has a bad reputation, not crazy as things really don't happen. So everyone in the city was as shocked as everyone outside of the street. We were like, this has never happened before. Like, we don't know what this is, blah, blah, blah. And I remember that being plastered everywhere. Lawrence is a horrible city. Someone died. Someone's head was in a river, blah, blah, blah. Bro, where are you when children, black children, are going to be killed? Where are the news outlets? Where are you? These are children. They're underage. I'm just wondering. I'm just asking.
That shit is... Oh, man. That shit is crazy.
Because you were a child.
That's a fact.
You're a black man who's been taught... And, like, again, this is a whole nother conversation that we can have about... You're a black Afro-Latino who has been taught that you have to be a man and you have to act a certain way so you won't be killed. But you are a child.
It's fucked because I feel like over the years I had to develop like this little, like a persona, like a white persona that was like white passing. Where, yeah. Like, where like I couldn't speak in my normal dialect. I had to start speaking like this and very uppity and yes sir, because it was like, oh, let me make sure that I don't fucking strike fear in these fucking people's heart.
You have to stop being yourself to accommodate someone else's feelings, and it's not my responsibility the way you feel about certain things. If you feel fear, that's on you. That's not on me.
It's funny because the older I've gotten, the more that I've like, the more that I've started to suppress that. The more that I speak how I speak, and if you don't like how I speak, then.
But that takes years. That takes years of learning about yourself and loving yourself, especially in a world that wants you to hate yourself.
Exactly. And it's like, so what if I like speaking in colloquialism, you know, and using colloquial terms, and it's like, oh shit, wait, this nigga knows how to use that word properly. Oh, like,
yeah.
Like, oh shit, wait.
You're a fucking educated black man. If you weren't, you ain't stupid.
It's like, oh shit, wait, you can kind of like speak like a dude from the hood, but you also have a very like, you know, large vocabulary of words that you know how to use properly. It's like, oh, that shit's always like, fuck off, dickhead. Like, yeah. I can be educated and I can be from the hood. Like, that shit, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's fucking, yeah. It's crazy, though.
Yeah, it's irritating. I've never had to deal with it. I've had to deal with it in ignorant white people. But that's, like, not... That's, like...
How do you deal with that? Because you're white passing, so I feel like they'll probably say shit... They'll probably say shit in front
of you. Yeah, they say shit all the time that just makes me fucking crack my neck and be like, what the fuck you just say, Becky?
And I feel like Becky don't even notice that you Puerto Rican because you light-skinned.
Because I'm white passing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, where I come from is, like, we have similar pathways, and the only difference between you and me is that I'm light-skinned and you ain't, but we both speak Spanish, we're both Latinos. Both come from low-income areas, like, we both here. And, okay.
Carla had her mic off the whole time. Crazy.
So one, like, beyond that, like, one of our differences is that, like, our skin color. So recently, like I mentioned, I'm getting my master's in higher education because I've always been interested in, like, finding ways to help educate and, like, help minorities become educated, because, you know, there's power in knowledge. I think, like, gone to diversity conferences for school are, like, these little things that, like, oh, it's like a free trip, but also I can, like, learn something new about these things that is my culture, or help others who need to be helped, etc. And recently I took this course, and it was about diversity. And once the course was over, I talked to a student who I hadn't really talked to all semester. I know this is, like, long-winded, but
what just happened? Did Carla get kicked out of where's Carla at, bro? Oh no, people, we having some technical difficulties, but hopefully we will be back within the next couple of minutes. Let me see if I can. Damn. What just happened? You gonna add Carla back to the call? We gonna add Carla back to the call. We gonna send Carla a motherfucking invite. That's what we gonna do. Goddamn, my people. Y'all here. What the fuck, like, next? On a big body tip, you feel me? Ah, nigga, you know the vibes. Shit, I'm hot though. Yo, did Carla's computer die? Yo, if Carla's computer died, I'm about to be hot, bro. No fucking way, bro. Geek. Ooh.
Okay. It's like Creo que nuestro live también se me olvida aquí también.
Carla, we back, we live, baby.
Yes, we are. I apologize, I was having technical difficulties again, aka my laptop freaking died. But anyways, back to the story. And in one of these courses that we were talking about, how there's certain terms that you don't realize, which we have talked about, and terms like the N-word and all of this have history, oppressive history. Oppressive history.
The oppressive history.
Okay. Yeah. So that there's a reason why those specific words are utilized a certain way. It's like, you know, they used to call people certain ways to insult them and to minimize them and to make them feel like they didn't belong and to keep them down, to have like cheap work labor and all those other reasons. Mm-hmm. And she made the most ignorant comment, saying like, well, I don't understand why this word, why I can't say this. And I'm not even talking about the L words. Like, then how do I talk to them if I can't call them, like, people of color or blah, blah, blah? I don't want to be ignorant. I just don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how to approach it. How can I be an ally? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was the moment when I was like, she really don't know. Like, she really don't know what we're talking, like she lived in a world that was white until now. Can you imagine?
I couldn't, bro. I couldn't imagine living in that little bubble for so long.
And so, remember, we're like in our early to mid-20s, so it's been 20 years of her life not having to deal with any of this, and suddenly we were having these conversations. And later on, I was talking with, like, an actual friend of mine in that class, and she was talking about, you know, that course wasn't for us. That course wasn't for us minority groups. That course was for people who don't know how to talk to or manage or understand minority groups. And we're all supposed to be professionals, but they don't know.
I love how you say they're supposed to be professionals.
But they don't know. And it's not our job to teach them, which is something that I'm still learning to do. Like, I'm always like, well, like, we're in an education place. Like, I'm all for, like, talking about this and helping you be an ally. But at the end of the day, you have the same Google that I do. You probably have a better quality Google than I do. You
probably got better internet now. Imagine.
Yeah. You got a better phone. You got a better laptop. I have a $100 phone, bitch. You have more opportunity to learn and educate yourself. So why do I have to remember the hurt of my culture and my people and how they sacrifice themselves over and over again to make you understand and feel comfortable with the fact that people aren't a threat? I don't know.
That's crazy. You think those people would just take it upon themselves to, like, to understand?
Well, that's the thing. They have to take it upon themselves, because nothing that I will ever tell them will really change the mind. Again, I'm starting to learn this, where I'm like, this is my life and this is what I struggle with. But if you really wanted to be an ally, and if you really gave a fuck about this, then you take the time to see what your history and what your, like, como digo, antecedente, your heritage, your, like, has done, and, like, learn, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I have to deal with people making comments all the time, and I spend most of my life telling people what not to say and why it's offensive, and now I'm getting to a point where I'm tired of telling people it's offensive, and I'm just like, fuck off and educate yourself, Becky.
You go, girl. Nah, but that's real cool. It's like, there's only so much you can do until it's like, you know what? Fuck you. Like,
yeah.
This isn't my job anymore. This isn't my responsibility. It's like, if you care, you gonna educate yourself.
Yeah, and I totally, like, not to brag or anything, but I totally, if you can, if you want to, if you're passionate about helping your community, I totally tell people to join the education system. It's a hard place, but I am one of two Latinos in a classroom of 15 to 20 people. This is the people who help make policy changes. This is why I'm here. It's because when they're about to make policies that don't help us progress, I have to be there and be like, no, well, you can't make that choice.
That's not gonna happen.
Or you can't make that rule because that's going to hurt me and people like me. And it's just two of us in a room of 20 people.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah. It's just white women and then like two Latino people. And they're like, we don't understand. And I'm like, of course you don't understand, honey. You haven't struggled through this. And you, the person that doesn't understand, are making the decisions for the people who are suffering.
And now, why do you feel like more Latinos don't get involved? Or more just people of color?
Of color in general, minorities, because the system was designed for white men to succeed. Like the higher education system in general, it comes from religious backgrounds where when the United States was being colonized with like freedom of religion and that kind of stuff, institutions were built to not only maintain but spread Christianity, like Catholic Church throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout time, those evolutionized to be education institutions. So obviously I don't know everything. This is like kind of like the quick book of like where it comes from. But if you search the history of Harvard was a religious institution before it was a school. It was a religious institution that received money from the Catholic Church for all straight white men. And then around the 1800s, it was a school of already elite people with money. So obviously they're not gonna give Carla the poor bitch a chance.
No, of course there's no room for you. There was never every room for you. You weren't even built into the initial plan of what it was going to.
Which is like, well, I'm totally with the protesters, just burning it all down, honestly. Eat the rich. I know that's not a positive message, but I'm like, you know what?
Eat the rich.
Historically speaking, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying that it's totally right.
This podcast, I'm not gonna lie to you, this podcast episode is taking some interesting turns. I did not think we'd be talking about like school and religion and education.
Yeah, I think it's really important, but because the only reason why I have this perspective is because I've gone this far.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm getting my master's and I get to sit in a classroom with professionals who write books about how to make education better and how this is the gateway to you not being poor. I sit down in this room with people who are like, oh yeah, you weren't designed to be here. And I just look at them in the face and I'm like, what can I do? What can I do about it? And they're like,
Like, I don't know. I never planned for this.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Which is why I'm hoping, you know, we have more people of color, any culture, just more diversity in general.
Hopefully,
in higher education.
Hopefully this conversation can spark more interest, you know, and hopefully somebody that,
if you want to make change, it's a good place to start. And I don't mean just like education, like high school, even though it's I know there's a lot of mentors in high schools who help so many students, but y'all, I need help here in college. Help me.
I need a team by my side.
I'm tired of this together. I'm tired of being any culturally like diverse person in every single fucking room.
Yeah, it's exhausting. And that's the thing about being the minority group in any room, in any field, you're always going to be that pinpoint person who's like, oh, well, we don't speak Spanish. You can do it, and you can do it, and you can do it. Well, until they burn you out emotionally, physically, mentally.
That's just crazy.
And then there's no one who can help the other people like you, so.
No. And
calling out people. Come. Help. Any color, any race, any religion. Let's get it.
You have me thinking, though. It's like, as soon as you're no longer in those rooms, are those ideas and concepts that you've, like, spoken on, are these people actually even going to remember them when you're no longer in these rooms?
They have to. They have to because recently, I know there's been an increase in diversity in general, just, like, in like colleges and stuff like that, and there is more competition for having students, so there is more access. Mm-hmm. But the purpose of higher education in a sense is like you have to do a lot of papers, a lot of research, and like find issues and find ways to fix them. It's kind of like my professional, I won't say issue, but like my job is to work and see these issues and like see people don't have access. How do we fix that? People don't have resources. We fix that. And what are the resources that people need? And if these people don't listen to the things I say in that room, that means that wrongly, they're gonna wrongly do that and not give them the chance to succeed.
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
I'm quiet because I'm thinking. I'm like,
no, like this. I wasn't expecting. We always talk about how the ghetto and like you need an education to succeed, but like once you're there, like just because you have access doesn't mean you're included. And I want us to think about take this as an opportunity to be like, you know, like. It's not just their life. It's not just their lives. It's literally even their lifestyle. Everything about the way they live is like under this social construct pressures. They are not realistic.
Not even close to being realistic. They're from a perspective that's like, it's a perspective that's just, it's. I can't think of the word. Yeah.
But yeah, this episode's already like really. I don't even know how long this episode's already.
We could possibly be here for like for hours. Sadly,
we could totally be here for hours.
honestly, these conversations, man. We could talk about all these like what ifs and this, that, and the third for fucking days, really, because there's so much that's wrong with the system, with the education system, with the government system,
and the opportunities that we have to be successful in general.
Yeah, the lack of opportunities, the lack of inclusion.
But there's always a positive side to look at, and like I think these protests and like the changes that we're seeing in our generations are give me hope and make me very excited.
My bad. I thought you were still talking. Hold up. Wait, my
you said that honestly.
Not honestly, I'm actually happy that these protests have taken I've gone in the direction that they have because I'm starting to see more conversation and more dialogue.
Yeah, I just think that this is bigger than like this is about George and about Black Lives Matter, but this is not just about that, because they're not going to live happy. They're not going to live, and they're not going to live happy unless we talk about how this is all designed for them to be fucked in the beginning, from the first place. This is just one of many problems that we've been pretending that aren't there, and now we're acknowledging that it's there, and we're asking for our leaders to take action.
We have to acknowledge it.
And someone has to take action. And if they don't, then everything's going to fucking go down in flames.
We just can't continue to sweep racism under the rug and pretend
we
don't have figureheads that have positions of power, that are abusing their positions of power, that are being lenient to certain races and harsher on other races. And it's no longer,
and you know, it's
based upon their skin. It's no longer acceptable to give fucking Jamal 26 years for a robbery and to give Brandon 2 years with
a chance. Or fucking for just smoking weed.
You know?
You have a weed with you, let's fuck you up for 50 years. That's not...
It's not okay to racially profile every person in a nice car. It's not okay to assume that anybody that comes from our community can only drive a nice car if they sell drugs. It's not okay. It's not okay. Cast judgment on people because of the color of their skin, and it's sickening. Shit is disgusting. Shit is stupid. You know.
And you know what? You just reminded me of something.
It is sad though. One last thing, because I had recently learned this. So the formation of police in general, the police were initially erected in this country to protect slave owners against their slaves. The police were actually slave enforcers.
Which tells you, just like I talked about education, the police wasn't a system designed to help you or protect you or care about you. It was a system designed to attack and protect the masters and the people with money.
Exactly.
So that is how it has evolutionized.
And that's what it continues to be. And
yeah.
It's sad. And you know what's also crazy? You have to study longer and put more hours in to become a hairdresser than to become a police officer. And it's sad.
Bro, I studied for 4 years to fucking make posts on social media. I got a marketing degree. I had to learn how to design. I had to learn how to, and I'm still trying to learn. I had to learn how to design. I had to learn how to read people psychologically. I had to take business law. All this bullshit to make social media. How are you going to tell me they take 6 months training and they're ready to use a weapon against other people? That's crazy.
You know what's also crazy to me is that there's a lot of police officers, and I don't want to discredit their jobs, but there's a lot of them that lack just basic common communication skills.
Well, you have to remember that and like I also know that there's great among the dirty, there's gems, and there's good cops who have chosen to do this job to help protect and save because they know how this world is.
No, of course, and
there but are. Among the dirty, there's people who choose these jobs on purpose because they know that they have power over others, and they get off of that.
That shit is disgusting.
They want to hurt people, and they know that as cops, you can't really do anything about it. There's people. There's all types of people out there.
Nah, it's crazy.
It's not just about them. That's why I keep saying that this is greater. It's about what rules do we have so these people don't abuse their power? What trainings do we have so these people don't abuse their power? What restriction? What consequences do we have so those people don't abuse their power?
That's the one thing that we're lacking. In
yeah, because we can spend all night.
We lack, not even we, but America lacks accountability for certain actions that are committed.
And yeah, so that's what I'm saying is we can talk, you and I, all night about all how the history and this is why it's happening, and we know why it's happening, and we know what is happening. The question is, What are we going to do to change it? What is our leadership going to do to change it? I need policies that restrict people from just killing just because they can. I need policies that make sure that people aren't unjustly stuck in jail because of their skin color and because they have weed on them. I need laws that make sense and doesn't allow children to marry at 12 with pedophiles. Like, I need justice.
We all need justice. We all need that change. So I like that question that you posed. It's like, what are we going to do?
So I'm a hug of the protesters. I'm mad that I'm not there. Just because, like, I live too far away. And there's no protest near me. I'm with them in heart and spirit. And financially, I'll be financially protesting and not spending any money for the next 4 days. We do what I can. Please donate.
Black Lives Matter, the movement.
Actually, do you see the weekends, like, spend like around $500,000 donated to black organizations to help support the protests and help support, like, defense for black men in jail and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, that is amazing. $500,000 just for organizations.
That shit is beautiful. It is beautiful that so many people have, like, really stood up against that shit, bro. And they show them.
Yeah, we have celebrities who went out to protest. I know Ariana Grande was out there. I know Halsey was out there. I know Cole Sprouse got arrested protesting.
Have you seen my man Seth Rogen on his Instagram just frying?
He's insulting everybody, and I'm like, yes, that's what we need. We need our allies to be there.
Letting people know, like, yo, your bullshit is not okay. Fuck off. Like, we're not. That's not the vibe, bro.
Yeah, it gives me hope. I'm telling you, this movement, it makes me really excited because change is coming, whether they want it or not.
Yeah, whether they like it or not.
It doesn't matter what they want. We're already here.
All you, like, closet racists, you're gonna have to come out and accept it. And you're either gonna have to change or you gonna get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, honestly, we need consequences.
Nah, bro, this shit not cool no more. This shit gotta stop. Like, I'm trying to fit in the description and having guns for no reason.
Amen. But yeah, like I said, this episode's super long. Thank you guys for watching.
Yo,
peace. Josh, what's our social media?
Peace. What the fuck at what the fuck Latinx?
Yeah, WTF.
WTF Latinx. You'll find us on Twitter, Instagram. We're not vibing on Facebook. Website coming soon. Y'all know the vibes.
Yes. And if you have any topics or ideas, comments, you can email us at WTFLatinx@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time.
Yes, yes, yes. Rest in peace, George Floyd. Black Lives Matter, baby.
Woo! All right.